Thank you for our brother. We thank you for the word that you have put on his heart. We thank you that his words are ordered by you. We thank you, give him the tongue of the words to bring forth that which you laid on his heart. We will be receivers, not only of the word, but of the gift that you have put in him, God. Our hearts are open to receive that incorruptible, infallible word of God. Do in us as you please, move by your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here today. You know, and as Pastor John mentioned, he said something really kind of happened this summer in the church and within a lot of us. And that's actually a part of me. You know, I think something happened within me this summer. We had just gotten done wrapping up a series on talents. If you guys remember that, some of you guys may not have been here, but we had a couple good weeks, maybe a month's worth of talking about your talents, what God has deposited into your life. And when Pastor John first started talking about it, I think on the second week, he came out with some paper, like it was like a questionnaire type of thing. Like, hey, if you kind of answer this, it's not an exact science, but if you kind of answer this honestly, it'll kind of lead you to kind of what your talent is or what your bent is, right? And I was sitting right here, and he was talking about, you know, handing this out. And I was sitting in my chair, and I'm like, I'm not filling this out, right? Because as a Christian that's been walking with Jesus for a while, I already know better, right? I already know I'm not going to take this. I already know what it's going to say. I don't want to do it. So that was kind of my attitude with it. It really was. But I ultimately did it. I did it. I knew what it was going to say, right? And I just didn't want to have to deal with it, right? So anyways, I did it, you know, and I'm just going through this. I get it. Okay. And I kind of had it like I kind of had an inward attitude about it, I guess, to be honest with you. But it was really great. We did something different that series. We allowed people to do it, and then they came up here, and they sat up here, and they said, hey, this is kind of how I scored, and this is kind of what my gifting is. And when they said that, they allowed people out here in the congregation to speak about that gifting and how to practical ways to actually, you know, go with it in your life. It was really amazing. It was really great to see that. I hadn't seen that before, and I thought that was extremely helpful. I had an opportunity to come up here. I mean, I didn't volunteer to come up here. I was, hey, you can come on up here, sit down. You know, so I didn't say, hey, I want to go up there. But it was great for me because I sat there, and I got some real honest feedback in ministry from the people that mean a lot to me here. They spoke some real true words in me because I've been coming here for a long time. And I just took it like a man. I just sat there. I'm like, just getting bam, bam. And I was getting it. But it was like a godly poke, right? So anyways, it was a great series. That kind of helped, kind of launched me in a sense. Saying, okay, you know what? You've just been sitting on this thing. Because we all have gifts. It's not just I have a gift. We all have gifts. It's what are you doing with the gift, right? So I'm like, okay. All right, God, I don't know what this means. But okay, let's just do this. We've been kind of doing this. So anyways, I just wanted to say that because I'm very thankful for that series that we just had last month. It meant a lot to me. Amen. Let us pray this morning. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, this morning. We just thank you, Lord, so much for the work that you're doing in our lives. You never quit on us. You're always there. Your mercies are so great, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, we just continually walk with you in a way that is pleasing to you. Let your word settle well within our spirit. Let us continue to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to be here, guys. Good to be here. So, hey, I really quickly wanted to share a quick story with you. And this happened a little bit ago, and I really don't want to kind of give the time frame because that would be embarrassing for me. So here I am. You know, I'm up in the Mukilteo area, and we used to at one time frequent, I used to frequent this place for lunch. It was actually, probably heard of the chain, it's Taco Del Mar. I love my Baja bowls and burritos. So I used to like going there. And on a particular day, I was actually going there to pick up lunch for the family. And I was driving up there, and I'm driving in the parking lot. And I didn't think anything was wrong with me that day in particular. But I'm driving, I get close to it, and I'm getting ready to, you know, go down the aisle, so I'm going to park. And I'm going to park, and there's a parking spot right here available for me. But the car parking next to it happened to be somebody that decided to park next to it and park right on that white line, like where their tire is taking also taking the parking stall. that, I mean, for some, dude, it's really bothered me. I'm like, you know, come on, really. It was one of those things where, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, based on the model and the make of this car and the accessories, I bet you this person's about 20 years younger than me, and I think I need to teach him a lesson. Okay, I really do. I think that this, I have a godly lesson I could teach him. So I'm driving a car that wasn't, it was kind of a junker car at that time, right? It was dinged up, this and that, so I quite frankly didn't care about it. It was, sure, your old car, the ML car. I had that a while ago. So I think I can get into the parking stall. But only to get in the parking stall, I actually had a, you know, the mirror, I had to flap my mirror that way, right, to shut it. So I'm parking in the stall. So I get in there, and I'm talking 4 to 6 inches from his driver door to my door. And I'm like, all right, I got in. And I'm like, you got to teach a lesson with this. This is what I'm thinking. I think I'm like right in my own heart. I'm judging this, right? I mean, really, got to teach him a lesson. So I walk into Taco Del Mar. So I go in there, not really a line. There's just one person ahead of me. So I'm ordering. And I know the family that, Sharon, I know the family there. Matter of fact, I actually coached their little son basketball on Levi's team, you know, some time ago. So I see her. I'm like, hey, how you doing, Maria? How you doing, Jesse? And I'm all like, yeah, God bless you. And I'm like, based on what I just did, right? I'm like, hey, I'm doing great today. I want to get my bowl, you know. And so I'm ordering this up. And, you know, someone in front of me, the line goes. I come to the cash register, order my food. And I'm getting ready to walk out. Well, the guy that just ordered in front of me was walking out of the store. And as I'm getting ready to walk, I'm walking. I'm like, whoa, he's walking right to it, that car. So I'm like, this is great. I'm just going to watch him. Because I want him to get into his passenger seat to climb over the console to get into his car. I want to watch this. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch this. So I'm sitting there and I watch this guy. First of all, he didn't get in right away. He's looking at my car. He's screaming. He's, you know, cussing everything out. And I'm just looking back like this. I'm just smiling. I'm loving every minute of this, actually. So I wait till he gets in his driver's side door. I get in my driver's side door and roll the window down. And he's like right there. I say, hey, man, what's up? How's it going? I decided I needed to teach him about parking etiquette. And I went in and taught him about proper parking etiquette. He did not like that at all. And I'm being dead serious. I haven't even shared this story, even if my kids are looking at me weird like you did this, Dad. So, and I'm looking at him, and I'm teaching about parking etiquette, and he's going off on me. And I decided to sit there with a smile on my face the whole time. I just smile. I'm antagonizing this guy. I'm like, man, I go, wait, you got a booger hanging out of your nose, man. That's weird. He's like, I mean, he's going crazy. It was the funniest thing. Finally gets out of there. There was a lot more dialogue that I'm not talking about in church. I'm not talking about that dialogue in church. So here it is. My blood is going crazy. So we kind of go, and I'm going home now. And I'm going home. My blood pressure is high. I'm right about this because, you know, I had to teach him a lesson that he could probably learn, you know, from his elders. I'm close to getting home now. So my blood level's here, and it starts to just start going back down normal, right? And this is where kind of everything starts settling. I'm thinking, what just happened? It was one of those moments like, did I really do that? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, no. I know better. What was I thinking, right? So I remember going home, had the lunch. I told Sherry this much of the story, and I'm like, just that much of the story. I said, I don't think I handled this right, Sherry. And she's like, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, I really got to go fix this. So I'm not far from the place. I go back to the place, and since you know, I know that family there, I'm going to take a shot. Maybe they somehow knew him or something like that. So I go into Taco Del Mar. And I said, hi, Maria. You know, she's worked. She says, hi, Jesse. I said, hey, you know, I was in here. The guy before me, right? I don't know if he comes in here that often, but we had a little misunderstanding in the parking lot. You know, that's kind of how I kind of spun it. You know? I go, I don't think I handled it that properly. Does he come in there that often? Because I you know, I want to apologize to him. And here it comes. She goes, no, Jesse, he does come in here sometimes, but not that often. But when I see him at church Sunday, I'll tell him you said sorry. Oh my God. That really happened. And I'm like, where is a rock so I could live under it for the rest of my life right now? I'm thinking, like, two quote-unquote Christian guys going to church and doing this thing in the parking lot. oh my gosh. I was, honestly, it was, if anything could sink anything lower within me, it was like, it was just like, that's cool. That's awesome. So it actually gets worse. So I get in my car and I'm going, that just happened. So here I am and I'm thinking about what happened and I'm like, so I do the thing. I'm like, man, I can't believe that happened. You know, trying to get this sorrow. And it was at this moment, I think I was almost reflecting more of a worldly sorrow, like what would people think type of thing. And not really the godly sorrow of, man, I'm really hurting the heart of God. And so I say this, I'm not even kidding you, and I kind of said it nonchalantly. I said, Lord, that was not me. You know, please forgive me. And if the Holy Spirit could have not said anything more clear at that moment, he said, yes, Jesse, that was you. That was just the tip of the iceberg of all the crap you have in your heart. You can either deal with that issue and all the other issues within your heart, or you can suck them back down, make excuses for them, and justify all your bad behavior. You make a decision. That was not my finest day. I heard that clearly, and I'm like, oh gosh. So I wanted to share that story because things are not always as they seem. They are not. If you surveyed like my family or my friends or my coworkers, I bet you would probably kind of get a consensus of, you know, Jesse's a nice guy. I mean, yeah, he doesn't do anything wrong. I mean, he looks like a nice guy. And he we've had conversations with him, looks like he's a pretty loving guy, forgiving, talk to him, talk about God, he'll talk about football, whatever the case is. But there's something behind the veil in the heart that God does see.
Come on.
Right? No one else can see it because you can't see it. I mean, if I show you, right? You can't see it, right? You're going to see something today, though. Amen?
Amen.
All right. This is good. The gospel of following your own heart. Have you guys heard of that gospel before? Sure you have, because I just made it up, actually. So looking at the heart, knowing it's a very tricky thing, and knowing from what comes from your heart is all the great thing God has in store. All the glory that we can give him comes from our heart. All the stuff that's bad, yucky, evil, self-serving also comes from the same place. Very interesting. So it's something that has to be guarded very, very carefully. Trusting in your heart. It's really interesting. Oh. So do you trust your own heart? Think about it. It wasn't even until earlier this week that I asked that question. So the first day of back to school for the kids, or for my kids, was on Wednesday. And my son Levi just got home from school. Awesome, you know, asked him about his day. He had school going on. And I was on the computer, and I thought, you know, my kids know me. They're going to love this. I said, hey, Levi, I said, let me ask you a question, honest question. I said, there's no wrong answer in this. I said, do you trust in your own heart? And he goes, well, yeah. I go, you fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. And he goes, all right, Dad, it's cool, dude. I promise I ain't going to trust my heart again. It's cool. He goes, I promise, Dad. And I go, no, come here. Let me just, I'm going to show you something, you know. So I kind of showed him about scripture. It was cool. So it was funny. And I kind of laughed too. So 20 minutes later, I decided to walk upstairs, knock on Paige's door. And, hi, Paige, how you doing? She's like, good, Dad. I said, Paige, I want to ask you a question. I go, do you trust in your own heart? And she goes, no, Dad, I heard you yelling at Levi downstairs. It was great. It was absolutely great. And my kids love me. They know my sense of humor, but they know that when we do stuff like that, then we talk about it. But all importantly, but all seriousness, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Amen. I have trusted my heart so many times. Well, I talked to Sherry the other night. I said, Sherry, do you trust in your heart? And she goes, not even close. She goes, how many times I've been burnt by trusting my own heart?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, we got it. You know. When I was looking at the first part of the scripture, I was going, yeah, I get it. I mean, there's so many times I've made decisions. I'm justifying things. My righteous anger. You know what I mean? You're doing all these things. You're spending everything to trust in your own heart to make it look good. But you're a fool. but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And then I'm looking at the second part of the scripture, which I wasn't even looking at in the beginning until like 2 days ago. I'm thinking, gosh, well, how many things am I not delivered of? Maybe because I'm trusting my own heart, right? Maybe I'm trusting my own heart. But if I want to trust in my own heart, I'm going to have a problem.
Yeah.
But if I want to be delivered, so I want to walk wisely. Amen? Do you want to walk wisely?
Yes.
Of course you do. So listen, this is the heart is. I was looking at things that were in my heart, and they had been in my heart over a period of time, and I wrote some stuff down. Self-serving. I never liked to think of myself as self-serving, but it was always about me and my needs first. It was always about what I needed first. Always justified. I would love to get in conversations, and I need to make sure my position is first. I am right, and you're not right. I'm sorry, but I have to be right on this. I'm never wrong. So when I elaborate on something or I share something from my heart, I'm not wrong. I mean, you've got to catch up, right? That's in my heart. Harbors anger and withholds forgiveness.
Wow.
Oh, jeez, Chris. I didn't even know that was there until I was looking in my heart. I'm like, that's there? No, that's there. Listen, you have to position yourself right, and you have to earn my forgiveness, one of those things. So it's like it has these conditions. Whoops. I literally stopped right there because if I was listing everything that I found in my heart over the past couple of years, I literally would have ran out of paper and the PowerPoint presentation would have went forever. So listen, I think to myself that I'm right. I justify my own behavior. I can do things and think, well, listen, Christ died for me. You know, I've been saved by grace. So I can just do my own thing. You know what? We've heard it before. God knows my own heart.
Right.
You know how many times I've heard that said? Yes, he does know your heart. Oh, he understands me. He knows my heart. He knows my heart. We're justifying ourselves. Yeah, you want to know why? He does know your heart. Jeremiah has something to say about that. The heart is more deceitful than any else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I think that's a rhetorical question because I don't know who can understand it. It praises God with a lot of great stuff, but from it can flow a lot of evil and bad stuff. Even if we don't think it's there, it could be there. In Mark 7, 20 through 22, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. That's a long stinking list right there. These are the things that are within the heart of man. This is just because you came to Christ, it doesn't mean all those intentions and all those possibilities and potentials go away.
Right.
And why the heart is so important. So the mind and the heart kind of play together a little bit. We know that there's a battleground here. We get that. Everybody has it, right? There's a battleground here. What happens when this is not dealt with, when it goes to the next level where it gets scary, is when it's here.
Right.
That's where it gets scary because it's within here. And why is it so scary that when it gets here? Because you can stand there and no one can really see it.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? No one else can see it. You mean, you look all right. It looks good. Hey, I show up. You know, I do my part in the kingdom. Everybody thinks I do my part in the kingdom. Pastor John likes me, so I must be okay. But no, there's a potential of danger if stuff is in the heart.
Right.
So I believe, I'm so convinced that the heart is the key. I mean, it's a breeding ground of good and bad if it's not protected. If we're trusting in it ourselves, it's easy for us to justify our own behavior. It really, really is. So, amen. God, you are so good. God, you are so good. Something I believe potentially can happen, and the reason why I know that I say potentially, for me it has happened, because I know that the guy's been walking with the Lord for a little bit. I should know things better. I should know better. Right? And I have found myself at times not behaving properly and, you know, harboring things, justifying things, thinking to myself, well, you know, I gave my life to the Lord. I'm good. I mean, I might not be as spiritual as the next person, but I'm not nearly as bad as that person. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, so that means I'm safe, right? Is it possible to be led astray? I ask myself this question. I'm really trying to measure myself up. Is it possible to be led astray?
Right.
Well, that's interesting. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reliables, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And I'm thinking, wow, list, and it's weird, scary because they have a form of godliness. That's different, right? It's one thing, that list, but they have a form of godliness and they have denied the power. And I'm like, what does that even mean that they denied a power? Well, the power from they are conceited lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. They're holding to a form of godliness. They're reckless. They're conceited. There's a power there that I believe that these guys are missing. Lovers of self. The power to be a lover of others. Lovers of money. How about being somebody that actually gives? You're boastful. You're arrogant. You're disobedient to parents. How about being obedient? You're ungrateful. The power to be grateful. You're unholy. How about the power to actually be holy in your life? You're unloving. It's something that we look at that you can see it on the outside. I have a form of it. It looks good. But inwardly, we can be operating in the way. We can be operating in a way that is definitely not pleasing to God.
Come on, Jesse.
1 Timothy 4:1-2. This is, I got hung up on this one forever, and even this past week. But the Spirit explicitly says, and explicitly says, or clearly says, I'm looking at the word, and that word means clearly says, or explicitly says, or I can't be any more clear about what I'm going to say right now. The Spirit says you have to listen to this right now. That's what that word means, that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. Now, I've read that probably 100,000 times, and it didn't hit me until this week that you cannot fall away from the faith unless you were actually in the faith.
That's right.
So you're in the faith, and you're not in the faith. You fall. So, what do you mean? Okay, so I'm in the faith. How do you get into the faith? So, I accept Christ, right? I'm a sinner. I accept Jesus in my life. I need you right now. I need you in my life right now. I'm a sinner. I'm a wreck without you. I need you right now, Jesus. I bless you. I forgive you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I got you. You're covered. You're in the faith.
Right.
But you can fall out. Now you're out of the faith. How does that even happen?
Right.
Okay. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of devils. What does that mean? You're in the faith. Right? You're in the faith. You don't wake up tomorrow and you're out of the faith. You don't wake up tomorrow and you're out of faith. You're in the faith. Something happens along the way, I believe has to do with your heart. Now you're out of the faith. What are you paying attention to? Deceitful spirits. Oh, that's what it is. Wait a minute. Okay, so I decided for some reason not to guard my heart. But you know what? I am saved by grace, right? Ephesians 2, 2:8 and 2:9. I've been saved by grace, not of myself. It's a gift of God. Well, so I'm good, right? Well, Romans 10:9 says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe my heart, you'll be saved. So I'm good, right? Well, Jesus said he would never leave me or forsake me, so I'm good, right? That is a deceitful spirit. Now, Jesus says he wouldn't leave you nor forsake you. He said that. But you very well can leave him and forsake him. There's a big singing difference in that. You can leave him. If our heart is not in a position right, we can be led astray, and it doesn't happen tomorrow. We can justify our own behavior. We can manipulate Scripture however you want to do it, and then you can find yourself over here, and you're saying, you know what? No, God knows my heart. I'm good.
Come on.
No, He knows me. I show up on Sunday, so I must be. I'm good. I'm perfectly fine the way that I am. I don't believe that. I get that too. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine. He goes, oh yeah, I believe in the Bible, I believe in all that. But for Jesus to be the only way, I just don't believe that part. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to wrestle with you about that. People can justify what you want to believe and how you want to respond to it all day long. We can do that.
Right.
And listen, deception, the problem with it is deceiving. That's the problem with deception. The problem is you think you're right, but you're wrong. And the scary one is when I hear this one. I hear this one. Oh, I would never be deceived. And I'm like this. When I hear people talk like that, I'm like, man, you when I see that, my eyeballs almost want to pop out of my head. Because everybody should be at least sensitive to the idea that if your heart is not guarded, that you could possibly be deceived. At least you have to be open to that fact. Amen. Amen. God is good, guys. That's really good. It gets worse. But it will get better. Revelation 2, 4 and 2, 5. But Jesse, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You see, when I said I used to know better, that's exactly what I mean. I used to know better. You could not catch me one day without spending great amount of prayer, great amount of time in my Bible. You wouldn't do it because I had such a love, which I still do right now. Amen. Praise God. But there was a time and it wasn't work. Like, I wanted to do this because I was in love. Like, I wanted to hear from him. I wanted to peel back the curtain. Jesus, I'm here. I mean, I'm ready to go.
Right.
Something happened along the way. And Jesus says, you've left your first love, Jesse. And I'm like, that's not cool. Don't want to leave my first love. But this is where he's faithful. Remember from where you got fallen. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, Lord, I actually do. I actually do remember. I remember what happened along the way at times where I started thinking cockeyed a little bit, justifying, like I'm being really open to myself. I go, I remember that. And repent. Okay, I'm facing you again. That's what repentance is, right? It's just doing a 180. Like, I'm going here, but I want to go back here. Yeah, I want to be back here. Please forgive me.
Right.
And it's so great because the restoration. And the thing that it wouldn't even be justified. I don't even want to show you the last half of the scripture because it bothers me. It bothers me. There are certain scriptures, guys, that bother me, to let you know. I don't know if you were bothered by any scripture, but a lot of scripture I wish wasn't even in there because it makes me feel very uncomfortable. So when Jesus is talking, and especially talking to me and he's talking to you, it's good to read through the good stuff because it makes me feel a little better. When I see stuff that I don't like, it bothers me, and I either don't read it or read fast through it or pretend it doesn't apply to me, right? So if I left my first love, or if somebody does, because he has this against people, if we don't go back to him and restore that, right? All debts are... So listen, Jesus already paid the price, right? The debt was settled. But if we decide to walk away from him and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and remove the lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Jesse, go back and do the deeds you did at first. Oh yeah, I remember that. It was effortless. You're in Christ. And you just do stuff that's pleasing to him. It's not even hard to do it because you're with him and you're on along the way. But listen, Jesus is like, listen, I put an investment into you, right? I called you to be a part of the kingdom. You want to be a part of the kingdom anymore? Your call. Right. I'm going to remove the lampstand out of his place unless you repent.
Wow.
I have a problem with that. I have a personal problem with that. It sits so deep within my own spirit, thinking, really? Like, take it. What do you like? That's just, he's just saying it because he's upset. Well, what does it exactly mean? You know what? I'm not even going to expand what that means. I know it has to do with the light within you, but what does it exactly mean? I don't know what it means for him to remove it exactly, but I do not want to find out what it means. That's all I'm going to say. I don't even want to find out what it means. God is so good. So, this is where the good part comes, because you try to self, where you at? We have this compass. Where are we at? The heart, it's tricky. I get it. Okay, don't trust it. Okay, I pretty much said that and beat that up. And there's a state that can be, well, there's some consequences that come along the way. You know, Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthian church, and I couldn't even tell you all about them, really, because they're long books. And I know the Corinthian church had problems. I know that. He wrote to him twice, you know, and he actually had they had problems. Some of them had problems. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:5, he said something really interesting. He goes, are we standing with Christ? He said something very interesting to the church towards the end because they had messed up stuff. And, you know, people were coming in, introducing weird doctrines and teachings, and people were kind of swaying back and forth. And I love what he said. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. Or you do not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail a test. Oh, wow. What I believe Paul is saying to the church of Corinth right now, this is what he's saying to them. He goes, right here, right now, where is your relationship without Christ?
Come on.
Like, where is it right now? Like, what are you doing right now? Where is your relationship with him? Forget about the outward stuff, right? Where are you at? Soul searching, where are you at? Are you with me? Or are you not with me? Paul's hooking them up right now. He's actually being really great to them, saying,
yes.
You want to recognize something? You need to examine yourself. Check me. Right now, you check yourself. That's what Paul's saying. That's a great thing to do, because that's helpful. That's really helpful to gauge where are you at.
Come on.
Oh, no, it's cool. I don't need to. God's with me. It's cool. Oh, really? Check yourself. Examine yourself to see if you're of the faith. Or did you not recognize about this self? Unless you indeed fail the test.
Wow.
You soul search this thing. Recognize this. We have a lot of great mature people in our church, and I thank God for all of you and all your prayers. But we have to do this. It's something that we have to do. It's not about a one-time occurrence. Check me. And I don't think it's a one-time check. I think it's something along the way. Check yourself. Okay, I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to pull back the veil. I'm going to pull it back and say, okay, where am I at? Where am I at? Amen. Check yourself. I think that's really good. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There it is, finally. Not trust in your own, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Yes.
And do not lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Jiminy, mine has been crooked for way, way too long because I was trusting my own heart, and my trust was not in the Lord with all of my heart.
Wow.
Right? That's where the trust has to be at. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You don't trust in your own heart. That's so ridiculous.
Yes.
But you know, God knows my heart. I know he knows your heart. Jeremiah, we saw, dude, it's sick. That's your heart. It's sick. Making excuses up all the time. Jude. Okay. Before I read this, Jude, the book of Jude is a very fast book. It's a very, very fast book. It's one chapter. I think there's 26, 28 verses, I think. So, very fast, but it's interesting. When I was reading the very, very beginning of Jude, which I won't do, you know, all these authors, they're always, they come out with a greeting. Remember how Paul always comes out to a greeting? Hey, blessed be to you, the Father, in the name of Jesus, and, you know, let's do it, guys, right? There's always that cool greeting. Jude, he goes into it, he goes, hey, I wanted to write to you about a common salvation that we have together. Then he goes, I found it necessary to change that and address some things that are going on in the church. The whole book has to do with people that have crept in the church unnoticed. They blend in well. They manipulate, turn scripture just enough to make you feel like you're doing good. They validate your poor decisions and your behavior. They let you know that, hey, you're forgiven, so go ahead and just do your own thing, because you're forgiven, so it's all good. They came in and they're manipulating. They're clouds without water, but they look good, right? But I like what he says at the very, very end. I love what he says at the end. He goes, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. I love this so much, because there's stuff going on in the church that we have to, that they need to watch out for, that could be affect them in the wrong way. He says, build yourself up in the holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. I've been saying that to myself all week long. Regardless, to get distracted or something like that, I'm like, Jesse, keep yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. And it immediately just, it gets me right back, I'm connected again. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Well, why is that important? If you're praying in the Holy Spirit and you're keeping yourself in the love of God, listen, you're not going to fall.
Amen.
You're not going to fall. I mean, you're going to run into challenges. You're going to get bumped along the way. That's fine. But you're not going to fall. You're not going to wake up and realize months, weeks, months, years later that you had fallen. That won't happen to you. That will never happen to you if you keep yourself in the love of God and you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, this is where you... Listen, not everybody's going to get this. Not everybody's going to get it. But when you're prayed up and you keep yourself in the love of God, there are going to be people that are going to be doubting, and it's going to hurt them. They're just not going to know that well. they're going to easily be kind of swayed, not knowing. You can help and have mercy on some who are doubting, saving others, snatching them out of the fire. I don't even know what snatching them out of the fire means, but it sounds bad. And have some mercy on them with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. I don't even like what it says. It means something bad is happening. So that means that you can help come along the way and save them. You can help lead them, right? But in order for you to do that, you have to be prayed up and keeping yourself in the love of God. You're not going to do it by trusting your own heart. How are you going to do that? You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to be able to help them along the way. You know how cool it would be if you went to heaven and you found out that there was somebody that was actually kind of on the wrong path a little bit, and you're able to minister to them and hook them and bring them back in, and you didn't know about it until you got to heaven, and you were the guy or gal that's like, hey, that's cool. They were going down, and you actually get a little credit for that in. Yes. Big deal. It's a big deal. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. I'm excited about that. So, when we are definitely course correcting, we're recognizing things in our life where, okay, I need to get back in line a little bit. There are some things that I know for myself when I have seen myself drifting, right? There's two major things that I saw that were absent in my life when I look back at it. I didn't recognize it at the time, but two things that were absolutely absent in my life. First thing, I did not spend much time in my Bible. Well, why is that really important, right? I mean, I'm just not a reader, maybe. Or I just don't have time, right? I understand that, but why is it important? If God is going to reveal anything to you, he can do it in several different ways, right? But he is going to talk to you more through his word than any other way that you can imagine. The amount of time that you don't spend in your Bible, you're going to have a hard time listening to him. You're going to have a hard time listening to him. And if you struggle, there's times every day I just couldn't get out of it. And there's a time like, wow, it's not even there. I mean, it's collecting a lot of cool dust, right, on the nightstand, right? When people come over, you kind of wipe it off, put it on the coffee table so it looks good. And you look really spiritual from when your friends come over, right? I get how that works too, right? So if you lack a desire, this is what I want you to hear. If you lack a desire reading the word of God, like, hey, man, it's just not my thing. One, we're going to pray about that for sure. Probably baptize you again. But no, I'm just kidding. But what we're going to do is, you're going to really need to search that within yourself.
Right, right.
Of Jesus, why don't I have that desire? Or can you give me that desire? I want that.
That's good.
I'm not doing it, but I want it. And you need to be guarded well. And you want to fall back in love with him. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you fell out of love with it, and you need to fall back in love with it.
That's good.
It is so important to get into your Bible. Yeah. We have a life, and like the things that are important for us are our jobs and our family and our friends. We do all this stuff. And then we decide, okay, I'm going to fit God somewhere in there, right? I've done that. Like, man, but today doesn't fit. So I try to get the next day. It should really be, okay, God's in the middle, and then everything else fits around him, right? That's the way it has to be. You have to recalibrate that. The next thing that's very, very important is your prayer life. Okay. If you're like me, you probably pray on the go a lot. You know what I mean, praying on the go? You're in your car, you thank God for the day. There's nothing wrong with this. Pray on the go. I do it all the time. Thanking God for the day, beautiful sunshine. Pray for a real parking spot. You pray that the light turns green. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. There's nothing at all. The prayer life I'm talking about is the time that you go home and there's zero distractions. You shut your door and you talk to your Father who is in heaven. Why is that even important? He wants to really, really hear from you. He wants you to pull back the veil in your own life. He wants you to be so transparent. Say, here, Jesus, here I am. I'm here I am. I want to do this so bad with you. I don't even have the answer, and it's scaring me. It scares me a lot. But I want this, I want to do this, and I want to talk to you, I want to hear from you. My family needs my prayers, my friends need my prayers, the unsaved people need my prayers. I want to thank you, I want to glorify, worship you, I want you to give me a great desire. I pray for the unsaved, I pray that you would use me, I pray. I mean, you get in there, and you're praying, and you're talking to him. He wants that so much. It's so important. It's so important. So when it's absent, if we don't have that, friends, I'm telling you, when I say this, you got to really hear it. When I'm here, and I have this thing, and when I woke up, and I was over here, my prayer life and me spending time with the Word of God were the two things that were so weak in my life.
Wow.
They were so weak.
Yeah.
It was just paper thin weak. Those are two areas you need to please look at doing. If you're challenged with it, you need to pray. You need to talk to God for this, either a love for him or pray that he would give you direction.
Yes.
But I tell you right now, do not avoid those areas.
That's right.
Because what you'll end up doing is relying on yourself again. You'll be trusting yourself again. You'll be trusting your own heart again. And then you're going to repeat the same cycle that you've been going through the past weeks, months, and years. And you're going to be doing this around the same circle. Hey, this is cool. Same mountain. Before. Rico and I talk about this all the time, don't we, brother? We talk about it all the time. I'm telling you. It's a crazy cycle. But I do want to say this, guys. I know God is doing not only a work in me, I know he's doing a work in you. I know he's doing a work in He's really doing a work in everybody, and I wholeheartedly believe this, and I mean this so wholeheartedly that he's doing a work, and his intention is he started this thing, right? He started this work. He needs participation.
Yes.
He needs, hey, I need you to come along with me because I need to finish this thing that I started with you.
Yeah.
It's not about how you start, friends.
Yes.
Come on.
It's about how you finish.
Yes.
He who endures,
to the end.
Right? Not he who starts fast.
Yeah.
He who endures till the end.
Yes.
I was telling Levi this the other day at lunch. I share a lot with my son about my past. A lot. With my kids. A lot. And I said, you'll always hear the saying that, hey, I've learned by my mistakes. We've all heard it. We've even all said it. I said, I tell you these things because I want you to learn from my mistakes. It's a lot easier that way, isn't it? Learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have to be the prodigal son, then don't be the prodigal son, right? I mean, who wants to eat slop and then come to their senses and come back? I've done that. Don't be like me, right? You can avoid that. You can avoid certain hardship in your life.
Amen.
You can avoid that by just listening. So listen, God's doing a work. He needs us. And I want to close with this scripture. For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. Because he is doing a work. And he's doing this work right now. My life, your life, it's maybe scary for me. I use the word scary because it is for me. Because I just don't know a lot of stuff. So I don't know what's the next thing. Lord, what's the next thing? Listen, Jesus said, Jesse, it's not even about you. It's about me, about what I'm doing. I'm just asking you to come along with the work. I'm doing the work. Listen, he's doing the work with or without us. And I just want to join the work. Like, I want to get in the game in the sense, right? I want to join the work to what you're doing. Because I know, listen, if he tells me, hey, Jeff, I want you to do this thing. And I'm like, if I go back to my old habits, like just make up my own excuse, because I'm really good at that, actually. He's going to say, that's cool. I mean, he's not going to say that's cool. He's going to be very, very disappointed, very, very sad. But then he's just going to go on to the next person and say, all right, pick up.
Yeah.
Next man in.
Yeah.
Because God's going to fulfill his will one way or another.
That's right.
We can either be a part of what he is doing,
yes,
or let's not wake up. Don't wake up and be someone who's fallen. I don't want to fall out of the faith. That's scary to me. It bothers me. But it bothers me in a way where I'm developing a respect for reverence of Jesus Christ in my life.
Wow.
It's a reverence that I'm getting that I never have.
Yeah.
So you got the love of God. We got to keep the love of God. But that balance of also having the reverence in your life also, I think, creates a great balance in your spiritual walk. Amen.
Yeah.
Did you guys get something today? A little bit? Get something a little bit today? Amen. Well, yeah, I hope you did, guys, because my idea was today was to share about me personally a little bit, which I did not want to do. I'm telling you right now, I had a couple different things I wanted to talk about today, but I ended up having to talk about this, which I didn't want to do. But the idea is take something that's meaningful. Okay, take something that is meaningful to you. Keep yourself, guys, in the love of God.
Yes.
Go for a gut check. Examine yourself. Check, where are you at? Yes. Right? Where are you at? Do these checks. Keep yourself in the love of God. If you've fallen from your first love, don't be ashamed about that. All he's saying is just come back. Just come back. Just saying come back. Amen?
Yes.
All right, guys, want to stand and we can pray?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we come before you this morning.